The news of his death gives us a chance to remember the long career of Johnny Carson. He died yesterday in California, surrounded by family at the age of 79. He had emphysema. Carson had rarely appeared in public since retiring from The Tonight Show more than a decade ago. One of those appearances was to receive a Career Achievement Award at the Kennedy Center. That career included 3 decades hosting a show that dominated late-night television. NPR's Netta Ulaby has this remembrance.
Every weeknight, Johnny Carson put much of America to bed. Writer Bill Zamy says no matter what happened during the day, Carson grounded you by the time you went to sleep.
And there was something so comforting and universally important about that. I mean, he was a human punctuation mark on the 24 hours of our lives.
Zamy did the very last interview with Johnny Carson for Esquire magazine in 2002. He watched Carson every night for years.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Johnny Carson entered the medium he loved soon after college. He started in radio, like many of his generation, moved to Hollywood in the 1950s, and started writing for comedian Red Skelton. His first big break was filling in as host when Skelton was injured backstage. But Johnny Carson wasn't famous when he became host of The Tonight Show. At the beginning, he was remarkably shy.
This was a guy who was never meant to be a talk show host.
Cy Kasoff met Johnny Carson on October 2, 1962. That's when Carson took the place of legendary Tonight Show host Jack Parr. Kasoff says Carson established his own distinctive style from the start.
He was not comfortable with people. The daily one-to-one exchanges were just unlike, say, Merv Griffin, who could schmooze all day, or Steve Allen, who had a very bright and inquiring mind and was quite knowledgeable. Johnny just was not at his best with people. Except when he got on the air.
That's when the transformation happened. Bill Zamy says part of Carson's gift was his innate rapport with the camera.
With one look, Johnny could create volumes of comedy just by looking askance at the camera. And very few people understood the magnificence of the medium and how it could work so quietly.
Have you earned much income from your books?
I've made billions and billions of my books, yes.
Johnny Carson was an intensely curious man. He was fascinated by other cultures and new ideas, and he used everything in his comedy. One of his favorite imitations was an affectionate parody of the astronomer Carl Sagan.
Reports from Voyager 1 indicates that on Saturn,
yes,
the winds are over 900 miles an hour. Will that pose a danger for our astronauts?
Definitely, they'll need much more hairspray than originally.
Peter LaSalle worked with Carson for over 20 years. He says in spite of a face so very public, there was something of a Johnny Carson mystique.
Everybody wanting to know what he thought about, whether it was a politician or about a situation in the world, they wanted to know what Johnny thought.
Johnny Carson pioneered the topical monologue, but he kept his politics to himself. His humor wasn't designed to offend people. He was respectful, and he worked hard to make his guests look good, from presidents to people who could imitate birds. One favorite was the lady who made sculptures from potato chips.
This is a little sleeping bird. Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
See, that's sleeping. It's got his bill.
So we have a very emotional audience here tonight. They're getting caught up in this. Don't you occasionally break one of these?
Oh, yes.
What happens then? You throw it out?
Just last week.
Now, this one here looks... Now, wait a second. That looks to me like you put some glue on that one.
Yeah, that's Yogi Bear.
But doesn't that...
I broke his neck.
He loved oddball characters.
Writer Bill Zahe.
He delighted in those guests in particular.
That may be one of Carson's legacies. Another is the staggering list of comedians who got their start on his show, says Peter LaSalle.
There was Gary Shandling, there was George Carlin, there was Robin Williams, there was Steve Martin.
And there was Drew Carey. In an interview with NPR's Leanne Hansen, he remembered his 1991 appearance on The Tonight Show.
Yeah, that was my one big goal, is to do a killer set on The Tonight Show. And I just wanted to get on, and I wanted it to be with Johnny and Doc and Ed. I wanted all the regular players there. I didn't want any substitutes. And it all worked out just the way I wanted.
Nothing really gets me down, not even bad weather or anything. You know, a lot of people get bummed out when it rains. Not me. I love it when it rains. More rains, more I like it. Bring on the rain. When it rains really hard, see, I like to run stop signs just to make cops get out of their car.
He was grabbing onto the desk so he wouldn't fall over in his chair. I thought, well, here's a guy, he's getting ready to retire, and he's seen everything already, and man, if I can make him laugh like that, I was so happy and proud of myself. It's like a religious experience. That's all I can compare it to.
Bill Zamy says right now on the television landscape, there is nobody like Johnny Carson, with an antic range that can swoop from imitations to sitting down with the likes of Bette Midler to sing.
I heard that your favorite song was Here's That Rainy Day.
Rainy Day, and yeah. I'll Be Seeing You, both of those.
Well, I'll Be Seeing You.
No, they're both war songs, I think.
Yes, you know? They are, and I both think war songs. But somebody remember... already sang I'll yeah. Be Seeing You, that's right.
Well, you can't
I can sing a chorus of Maybe I Should Have Saved Those Leftover Dreams. Funny, but here's that rainy day.
Here's that rainy day they told me about. And I laughed at the thought that it might turn out this way.
Bette Midler sang a duet with Johnny Carson on his last night as host of The Tonight Show. In a statement yesterday, she said Johnny Carson had it all. A little bit of devil, a whole lot of angel, good looks, superb timing, and great, great class. Cy Kasoff says Johnny Carson's class was apparent from the very beginning.
After the first year, we received, a whole bunch of us got in the mail half a dozen steaks from Omaha, Nebraska, with no card or anything. But that was Johnny's Christmas present to each of us, but we didn't know because there was no card or no note. And I will tell you right now that I don't recall ever having steaks that were tastier.
Kasoff says he sees those steaks as a metaphor for Johnny Carson. Maybe a little frosty at the beginning, but when warmed up, there was nothing else better in the world. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
Well, that's how it goes. And John, I know you're getting anxious to close.
For more memories of Johnny Carson, go to NPR.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
I hope you didn't mind me bending